Thank you. Sister Ruth and I, we are happy to be with you this morning. It's a customary with the standard with the New York class to bring the love and greetings of all the friends in from New York. Also, Sister Hodges and Agape send their love to you. Many of us, they say, I have the truth. Others, they say, I know the truth. And others say, this is the truth. What's truth? This famous question is a 2,000 years. In that famous trial of Jesus and Pilate. I like to read you the occasion. It's in John 18, chapter 33 and 38. I'm going to read to you. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou these things of thyself? Or did others tell it them of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servant would fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou mayest say that I am a king. To this end was I born, and to this cause I unto came unto the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And then he said to this, and when he said to this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. To this end I came to bear witness. In the diglot, the word witness, martyr, is from the root martyriso, martyr, martyrdom. That's the meaning. I came to this world to martyriso. And the word martyriso is to testify to the truth, and to seal this testimony with my life. To die for the testimony, for the witness. Martyr, martyrdom, from the same root. To lay down my life for the truth. For this, I came to the unto the world. Jesus not only testified and witnessed the truth, but he suffered also for the truth. Adam Clark's comment upon this conversation between Pilate and Jesus, he said, Among the sages of that time, there were many opinions concerning truth, and some have even supposed that it was a thing utterly out of the reach of man. Pilate perhaps might have asked the question in a mocking way. What is truth? And this, not staying to get the answer, indicate that he either despaired of getting a satisfactory one, or that he was indifferent about it. This is the same with the thousands. They appear desirous of knowing the truth, but have not patience to wait in a proper way to receive the answer of their question. End of the quotation. Paul, writing to the Timothy, to his beloved son Timothy, who have the same heart as the Apostle Paul, he said to them, 1 Timothy 6:13, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quicken all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pilate, Pontius Pilate, testified the good confession. In the diglot, in the original, is who martyr a good confession. He was a martyr. Seal his testimony with his death. The Greek philosophers and sages in the past have analyzed many words. For instance, valor. What is virtue? What is friendship? Aristotle, he gave an explanation about friendship. He said, two souls in one body. That's friendship. Two souls in one body. But Plato was 400 years B.C. What he would say when he would happen to be in the Acts, when Peter speaking to the in the Pentecost, he said there in the Acts was 5,000, one soul and one body. What he will say? He will be amazed. And what he will say when will hear Jesus said 144,000, one soul, one body. The body of Christ. They define many words, but the truth, never one define. What is truth? They never tackle. Because they don't know. Great thinkers, Euripides, a tragedist, 479 B.C., in his drama, in his act, in his play, inserted this verse. To silence the truth is like to bury a gold. Socrates, 499 B.C. Socrates died for the truth. He didn't like to liberate it himself when everybody has been bribed and the disciples came to him and said, we have everything. Everything is free for you in order to go to Macedonia. And he refused to be liberated. What my disciples will say? For a few years that I'm going to live 79 years old, and for a few years to betray what I have said, and he refused the liberation, and the next day he drank the poison. He testified his death, what he was preaching. And what the reward for him? Nothing. Maybe I'm going to say to stay in that day with the other judges, with the other philosophers. Maybe that was the thought. Pythagoras, a great philosopher and mathematician, 580 B.C., that was in the time of Daniel, he said wonderful things. The truth is so great a perfection that if God would render himself visible to man, he will choose light for his body and truth for his garment. The whole personification of God is light and truth. Jeremy Taylor, an English theologian, 1613 A.D., he said, It is impossible to make the people to understand the truth. Requires knowledge for this, and knowledge is a gift of God. The truth is not easy to be perceived and to have a possession. Is a gift of God, needs knowledge. Seneca was a philosopher of 65 AD in the time of Nero. He said, "The wise men know, understand the ignorant." The wise men understand the ignorant because he was himself ignorant before. But the ignorance, they cannot understand the wise man, because he never was wise. How can anybody understand the truth, which the truth is a gift of God? Only those that they have the truth, they can understand you and understand one each other. There is an anecdote about Seneca in the days of Nero. Nero was a He played fiddle, and he was a singer, but very bad. He has a big voice, a big man, a big body, and he went many times to the Olympic Games in Greece, every 4 years in the Olympia in Greece, when they give rewards for the athletes, runners, and different kinds, and singers. Nero went there, and he wanted to be rewarded. So before he goes there to play the fiddle, he called his dignitaries and Seneca and many other philosophers, and he started to play the fiddle. And after that, many they applaud. He asks Seneca, "How you like it?" Seneca said, "Very bad. Sour notes. Take him to exile." The guards took him to exile. After 2 months, again, he gave a banquet, and again, he said, "Call Seneca too." And Seneca then was brought in the banquet there, and then Nero started to play the fiddle. Everybody applauded. And then Nero said to Seneca, "How do you like it? Sour note. Take him to exile." Again to exile. After 2-3 months, before he sailed to Greece, again he gave the banquet there, and again Seneca came, and he played the fiddle, and then everybody applauded, and then he asked Seneca, "How do you like it?" He said to the guards, "Take me to exile." So bad was his play and fiddle, but because in account that he was an emperor, they had to give him the reward. Lord Byron was an English poet and a philosopher. He went to Greece and he fought with the Greek in 1820 to liberate Greece from the Turkish slavery. He said, and you know, so from the quotation, but many of you don't know from where it come from. He said, "It is strange, but true. The truth is always strange, stranger than fiction." Lord Byron, the truth is stranger than fiction. Speak to the resurrection of the dead to your neighbor. In their mind, though they will be respected you, but they say, "He's out of his mind." They think it's a fiction. The resurrection of the dead. In the truth, there is no perhaps or maybe. McClintock and Strong Cyclopedia, I found out the word truth. And he gave the opinion. The truth is truth today, tomorrow, and forever. The truth is eternal. Standard Dictionary defines the truth that which is and exists. Many times we say the truth will come up. It's like an oil. No matter how deep the oil you put, they will come up sooner or later. Strong Dictionary in number 571 said, truth in the Hebrew language is hemeth, E-H-M-E-T-H, hemeth, which means stability, worthiness, establish facts. And in number 539, he said, truth is permanent, assurance, troth, trust, steadfast, the attributes of God. George Canning, an English mathematician, he said, I can prove anything by statistics, except the truth. You cannot define what is truth. Robertson said, Christ did not only simply speak the truth, he was the truth. Because truth is not words, but life and light. I am the light of the world, Jesus said. I am the door. I am the life. For this I was born, and for this cause I came to the world, to testify, to martyrizo, to the truth, with my life. Revelation 3:14. These things said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. This said the Amen, the faithful and true witness. And true martyr is the original. Martyr. Because he went to martyrdom. He laid down his life for the truth. How the truth came to the world. John 1:17 we read, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. What truth Jesus brought? This is very, very vital question. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. What truth Jesus brought? Oh, everybody, we know. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This truth is the most fundamental in the whole Bible. And that truth Jesus brought. God so loved the world. Are we worthy in anything? We're not worthy in anything. Since Adam's failure, everybody is downtrodden. Yet, in this condition, after 4,000 years, God sent his beloved Son for the sin-cursed world. He loved the sin-cursed world, though he has nothing to do, but yet the love of God we cannot understand. Paul defines this, the 2 Corinthians 9:15, the unspeakable gift of God. Unspeakable. Undescribable, inexpressible act of God, the gift of God. You cannot express and you cannot define the love of God by sacrificing his only beloved Son. The ransom sacrifice is the standard measure of every doctrine. Any doctrine that is not square with the ransom sacrifice should be discarded. Immortality of the soul, Trinity, fire and brimstone, eternal torment, does not square with the ransom. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to my Father but by me. Why Pilate could not save Jesus? He could. He has the power to save Jesus. Why he did not save Jesus? He knew Jesus was an innocent man. And he told the Jews, I found no evidence or any guilt in that man. It is preserved by Matthew what his wife, Pilate's wife, told Pilate. Matthew 27:19. In order the Matthew to preserve the conversation and the message that his wife sent to him must be worthwhile. I think, and that's my opinion, that the wife of Pilate was a Jew, or maybe was a proselyte. And he believed in the word of God. Matthew 27:19. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in my dream because of him. Pilate was a warrior. He has no fear. As any soldier has no fear, except one thing. Pilate, two things. One, most important, and another two. Pilate was afraid of his position. And you know, friends, there is a saying in the Greek sages, I'm going to speak in the Greek language. Τον πλούτον πολύ εμίσησαν, την δόξαν ουδείς, which is, many despise riches, wealth, but glory none. Everybody wants to be in the act. Everybody wants to be in the limelight. Everybody wants to be applauded. Pilate knew Jesus was innocent. But when he hear the Jews saying to him, John 19:12, if thou let this man go, thou art no Caesar's friend. That did it. He was afraid of his position. And another thing that he was afraid is stated in John, the 19th chapter. I'm going to read it to you. The 7 and 8 verse. The Jews answering him and said, we have law, and by our law he ought to be die, because he made himself the Son of God. Listen to this. When Pilate therefore hear that saying, he was more afraid. Two things he was afraid. His position, and he was a superstitious, and he was a soldier of the Roman army. Emperor Caligula was the emperor in the time of Pilate, and in account of his friendship, in account of his position, he delivered Jesus to the Jews. But according to the historian Eusebius History Book 2 Caption 7 and Josephus Antiquities Book 18:4-1, there is this statement. 2 years later, after the crucifixion of Christ, Pilate was accused by the Samaritan and some Jews that he was unfaithful to the emperor. Gaius Caligula. 38 A.D. Pilate was called to Rome by Gaius Caligula. He was found guilty, and he was sentenced to prison in Vienna, France, and he committed there suicide. That's the history of Pilate. He was afraid of the emperor in account of his position, and he died in a prison. I am thinking, and you too. Don't you think that his wife visited him in the prison in Vienna? And maybe he conversed with him this way: Pilate, did I tell you not to have anything with this just man? I told you, but you didn't listen to me. You was afraid of your position. You love the emperor. Look what the emperor did to you. Friends, sometimes we should hear our wives, but not always. Antiochus Epiphanes, 175 BC, general of the army of Great Alexander later on. He oppressed the Jews, plundered the temple, and tried to change the religions of their fathers. Mother and seven sons perished. Many noble men and women suffered death, refusing to offer sacrifices. You remember when you read the Maccabees? Josephus said about Antiochus Epiphanes that he died a terrible death fighting with Parthians. And at his death, he acknowledged that what he suffered in account of the oppression to the Jews. In Genesis, we read 12:3, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee." It's time and again in the Bible said that. Hero the Great, in the time of the birth of Christ, he was a terrible emperor. He oppressed the Jews terribly and cruelly put to death many of his family. He tried to, the same as Antiochus Epiphanes, to change the worship of God. He killed most of the family, his wife and his sons, and he gave orders to gather all the noble and principal men of the Jews to put them to death. But his general refused to do that, and he died a horrible death, stricken with boils, and no one would enter in. Was a petrified smell in account of his boils. Herod Antipas, the grandson of the great Herod, is in the Acts. I'm going to read to you just to refresh your mind. Sometimes we read and just bypass without getting the gist of the statement. Acts 12:20-23. I'm going to read. Then of Tyrus and Sidon was highly displeased, and they came with the one accord to him, to Herod Antipas, saying to him that he made Blastus, the king chamberlain, their friends, made with bribery, desiring peace, because their country was nourished by the king's bounty. This is the whole gist. The Tyrians and the Sidonians, the provision that they have was by Herod's command. But in account of something happened to them, they did not receive the provisions. And then they bribed the chamberlain of the Herods, and they wanted an audience. to listen to their grievances. Now, and upon a set day he rode, arrayed with a royal apparel, continuing in the Acts 20:23, he sat upon the throne and made an oration to them, to the Tyrians and the Sidonians. And the people give shout, saying, "It is the voice of God and not of man." And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the spirit, he died. Anyone who tried to oppress the Jews, the promise of God to Abraham, "Those that I bless thee, I'm going to bless, and those that I curse thee, is accursed." Every one of them that oppress the Jews, they suffer. We have here Hitler. In our days, 6 million people, a horrible death. He died a horrible death. And we don't know how he's going to affect his life in the resurrection. Oh, what are you going to do? If you are faithful, you're going to judge the world. What are you going to do with Hitler? What are you going to tell him? How are you going to act? This is the school that we learn. And our Christ and God is our teacher. How to deal with them. Think of that. Mussolini was a terrible tyrant. He died a horrible death. Eichmann, he executed the Jews by thousands. He died, he was hanged in Jerusalem. Truth bearers from the beginning suffer. I will not mention Abel, who sealed his faith with his life, neither Moses, the servant of God, suffered reproaches from his people, and many times he wanted to be stoned. Yet, in his prayer to God, he prayed for the people of God. He wanted to be blotted out from the book of life, but to save his people. What a noble soul. What a noble person. Can you do that for me? Can I do that for you? To pray that my life to be blotted out, but to be saved, but you must be saved. What kind of love is that? Love that we cannot many times fathom. Sacrificial love. But we come to Jesus, "But now you seek to kill me, a man that told you the truth, which I have heard from my God." Christ was the first martyr for the truth. Mark 3:22, "And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he had a Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devil he casteth out devils." He was misunderstood, and he was blasphemed as a Beelzebub. Many times in your good heart, you like to help other people, and you are misunderstood and reviled. John 8:44-48. "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was murderer from the beginning, and he abode not the truth, because there is no truth in him." He was the father of the lie. In any occasion, many times you have trouble with your family, with yourself, with your children, with your neighbor. The Lord's people is surrounded with enemies. And the most greatest enemy is three: the flesh, the devil, and the world. Well, many said, "Go behind me, Satan. Well, some they said, "Well, Brother Hodges, I don't like him behind me. To think that Satan is behind me, I will tremble." But go behind Satan. You can tell that with You can say to the world, well, I don't like the world, the condition that they are. If the world comes from one side, I go to the other side. But what can you do with this carcass? With flesh? What can you do with this flesh that we trotted down every minute? And this is the greatest enemy that we have to fight. The Apostle Paul was a valiant soldier of Christ. He enumerates what he suffered in the 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Many times he suffered from the Jews. 5 times he received stripes. 3 times beaten with rods. 1 he was stoned at Lystra, that we know. Perish of the city. You remember how he was put down from a city in Damascus with a basket, because Aretas, the king, wanted to take him to put him to death. And he escaped. At Lystra, when he was stoned, performing miracles, and the people wanted to deify him. People came from Judea and persuaded the people, those that they wanted to give Paul honor of God, and Paul refused, and Barnabas. The same people, because persuaded by the Jews, and stoned the Apostle Paul. Now, this is in my mind time and again. What do you think, friends? Those people who stoned Paul, they take a big stone, it's not pebble, there was a man. They stoned him, and they drag him out from the city, outside from the city. Maybe half an hour, maybe 20 minutes, whatever. Dead. And they let him dead, full of blood, outside from the city. And after, the disciples came from the canyon, and they took him, and they brought him to the city. And this is what he said when he came to the city. With many tribulations, we will enter the kingdom. Paul suffered more than anyone. The beloved disciple of John, he lived 99 years old. Do you believe that would be a person, a disciple of Christ, to withstand John? In the third epistle of John, he sent emissaries to one ecclesia, and the elder of that ecclesia, Diotrephes, sent out, he did not receive the emissaries of John. He defied him. What John said. He didn't curse him. He said, when I come, I like to see him, how he will fare besides me. The Apostle Paul, at the end of his life, writing to Timothy, he said, all in the Asia forsaken me. To whom? The Apostle Paul. What am I? What are you? Because nobody can understand you. Maybe some, they threaten down you, your name, and what you stand for. Look what happened to the Apostle Paul. Everyone forsaked me in Asia. He was the founder of those ecclesias. And everyone forsaken him. And I was thinking, when Nero ordered Paul to be beheaded, who was beside him? I think only one person, and that was Luke, who narrates everything that happened to the Apostle Paul in the Acts of the Apostle to the end of the 8th chapter. What happened to Luke? Nobody knows. What happened after? Nobody knows. But he was the faithful follower of the Apostle Paul, encouraging him, as a doctor. The Romans did not care about Luke, a Greek physician. He wanted Paul. And they put him to death. I'd like to read what Brother Russell said in the reprints, page 8 in the bottom. He said, "What is truth?" I quote, "This question is one which every sincere Christian should ask and seek to answer. We should learn to love and value truth for its own sake, to respect and honor it by owning and acknowledging it, whatever we find it and by whosoever presented. Truth, like a modest little flower in the wilderness of life, is surrounded and almost choked by luxuriant growth of the weeds of error. If you would find it, you must stoop down in order to get it. If you will see its beauty, you must brush aside the weeds of error, a bramblets of bigotry. If you would possess it, you must stoop down to get it. But be not content with one flower of truth. But one being sufficient, there would have been no more. Gather ever, seek more. Weave them together as a garland. Bind them by thy neck. Write them upon the temple of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor of God, of good understanding in the sight of God and men." End of the quotation. What is truth? Thy word is truth. Pilate did not stay to listen, but Arthur said, "What is truth?" Either chokingly or anything, he did not wait to get the answer. Thy word is truth. Buy the truth, Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and understanding. How can you buy the truth? On all we know is one way, by consecration. You have to consecrate, you have to sacrifice in order to get the truth. And after you get the truth, sell it not. Not for the war, not for fame, not for anything else. And suffer for the truth. If the truth cost you nothing, then the truth has no value at all. The more you spend to buy the truth, the more value it is to you. Buy the truth and sell it not with nothing. And be a martyr. If you love the truth, if you think the truth is valuable, you must pay for that. And the pay is consecration, sacrifice, martyrdom. May the Lord add his blessings.
Well, thank you, Brother Hatches, for that stimulating talk on what is truth. I think we'll need some time, Louise, between the meetings. Well, it'll be a short intermission, and then we'll have the tabernacle study, or whatever Brother Fry has for us today.
I'm going to Union today.
Oh, okay. Fine. All righty.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. All right, then we'll ask Brother Hatches to dismiss us.
Our loving Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, our Redeemer, we approach thy throne of grace to thank thee, dear Heavenly Father, for the sacrifice of thy beloved Son, to thank thee for the truth that thou hast hid from the prudence and from the wise of this world, and thou hast revealed to us. We appreciate thee, dear Heavenly Father. We know that without thee, without thy help, we can do nothing. So help us, dear Heavenly Father, to be faithful as our Master, as the apostles, as many saints throughout the ages. We desire to be faithful. We love Thee. We love Thy truth. We love Thy people. And we desire and we strive to be faithful. Bless our conversation. Bless our fellowship with one another. And bless all Thy people everywhere. And may Thy wonderful kingdom be established upon the earth, so not only us, but the whole world know Thee, and Thy name be glorified. We leave ourselves in Thy care and keeping. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.